Good morning, everyone. It's been a strange week for all of us, I suppose, as we've been in lockdown and all the things that have been going on. But the good news is that, you know, that the Lord is with us and everything in it, and it's good for us this morning to come before Him in His Word and in prayer, and hopefully be on the Spotify to sing as well. So I just want to pray first, and I'll pass over to Alice to read the chapter. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 26. Just pray first. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, for where you've helped us this week and blessed us and all that we've had to do. Also, Lord, we just pray you forgive us for any wrong that we've done and that you give us a fresh cleansing. But Lord, as we look into your word now, Lord, we pray that you will bless it to us. Lord, would help us to be encouraged, to be challenged, and to be shown the things that you want us to learn of you. And Lord, help us not those just to be hearers, but to be blessed truly by being doers of your word. So really go before us and bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to pass over to Alice now and ask her to read Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 26.
During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, It is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, Do you still not understand? They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, Do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, Don't even go into the village.
Thank you, Alice, for doing that reading. We're going to be looking through Mark chapter 8 this morning from verses 1 to 26. As we go through the feeding of the 4,000 and the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, and then through to Jesus healing the blind man of Bethsaida. And there's 4 things I really want to look at this morning, really, that maybe we can get hold of The first one would be the compassion of Christ, and secondly, to look at the dullness of the disciples, and thirdly, the problem of the Pharisees, then lastly, and hopefully quickly, the healing of the blind man, how he the blessing that he gets from that. But at the beginning of this story, we're looking at the feeding of the 4,000. You know, it's not the first time that Jesus has fed so many people with so little. You know, it's not that long ago that he's just fed 5,000 people. But here we find out in verse 1, we're told, during those days another large crowd gathered, since they had nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on these people. They have already been with me 3 days and had nothing to eat. If I send them away home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. You know, and the thing that really jumps out to me here at the beginning of this passage in this story is that what Jesus says, I have compassion on the people. And you know, it's such a wonderful thing that he says. It's an amazing thing that he says. But you know, what does it really mean? What does it mean? You know, it's easy to say that we have compassion, but you have to prove it. And there's 3 things that we can learn here that show the compassion of Christ. Firstly, we see that the large crowd has gathered to be with Jesus. But for them to gather, why are they there? Well, the truth is they're only there because Jesus is a compassionate man. He is someone who cares and has a real concern for the people. That's why they're flocking to see him. But the only reason that they know that, Jesus has already met with the people on many occasions. How he's been healing them, speaking to them, and in so many different ways he's been looking after these people. And because of that, people are flocking from everywhere to see him. But for Jesus to have this compassion, the first lesson that we can learn, it comes at a great cost. And the cost is this. For Jesus to be here, he has to come away from everything that he has known. Firstly, heaven and the Father. And when you think about that straight away, just have a little think of that for a second. For Jesus to have the compassion for these people and for me and you, it came at a great cost. The cost was that he had to leave his place of home in heaven. He had to leave the presence that he had with his Father. What a wonderful and amazing place to be. But Jesus was willing to let go of that because he has compassion on these people and compassion on people like you and me. But not just only that, when you think about even when he came into earth, for Jesus even more to go on and to love these people and to have the compassion and want to save these people, he had to leave his earthly family as well. Even the very job he had as a carpenter. It may not seem much to us, but when you think about that, even the things that he had on earth, he had to let go for him to fulfil the compassion he has for these people and also the compassion for us. But then we find something else here. You know, he has a compassion that's going to come at a cost to him, that has cost him, that will literally cost him his very life when he goes to the cross. But also, we find this. In verse 2 it says, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. We find already that the people have been with Jesus for 3 days. Now when these people have come to Jesus, they haven't come to save Christ. They've come to be saved by Jesus. So for 3 full days, Jesus is serving these people in many ways. Now we're not told here, but we know that he's been healing them. He's certainly been preaching to them. And he's meeting the need one by one. Yes, he's been using the disciples to do as well. But even in that, he is training his people up, isn't he? In the way that he wants them to live. But for those 3 days, Jesus has been saving the people. He has so much compassion. But even when the 3 days are up and it's time for the people to go home, what does Jesus say? If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. You know, we see a compassion that never ends. Because, you know, it's not, well, okay, I've done my 3 days with them, send them home, I'm hungry, I'm tired. Jesus doesn't have that compassion. It is a compassion that never ends. He wants to make sure that these people are met to the very end. He wants to fill them right through. He wants to make sure that when they get home safely. They get home healthy. He is not thinking of himself. His compassion is a compassion that never, never ends. And then thirdly, we find this. You know, he's had these people for 3 days. He's been meeting their need, mainly spiritually probably, by giving them the word of God. But then we find here, at the end of the 3 days, he wants to fill their bellies. And the lesson that we learn here in this compassion is a compassion that meets every need, spiritually and physically. Now, when you think about this, this is a great lesson for us today. Because, you know, we have so many churches who emphasize on the spiritual side. We've got to give them the word of God. We've got to give them the gospel. But there's no time for the physical need. But then we have churches who say, oh, we can't give them the word, but we'll give them the physical side. But the lesson that Jesus gives us here, what true compassion, what true care and concern for the people is that our people that fills the need of the people spiritually and physically. And you know, that is a great lesson for us as a church and as individuals. Are we a people that want to meet the needs of the people spiritually and physically? Now, it's alright to say to someone, listen, you need to be saved. But they have a problem and they have a debt, and we can meet their needs. But if we're not willing to pay their earthly debt, how can we expect them to take on the debt that Jesus wants to pay? Now, we seriously need to be a people that are willing to share with them spiritual stuff, but also the physical side. And when we think of the times that we're in now, of where we're seeing lots of problems outside with this virus, and where people are struggling in many, many ways, and they're looking for answers, yes, we should be giving them the spiritual side of Christ and tell them what Jesus can do for them. But also, I do believe there is an opportunity on the physical side where we can help as well. So I think the first lesson that we learn from this story is the compassion of Christ. It comes at a cost. Are we willing to pay that cost like Jesus was? It also comes, it's never ending. You know, we've got to keep going on in this compassion and sharing the compassion of Jesus. And then thirdly, we need to be those that are willing to share spiritual and physical to get it across. But then we find on in this story, we come to the disciples now. And they're dullness in it. You know, Jesus, he sees a great opportunity here. Even though they don't have much bread, they don't have much fish, they don't have much, to be honest. And there's 4,000 people here, and that is not including the women and the children. So when Jesus turns around and says, I have compassion on these people, I want to feed them. Now, if we were in there, what would we feel? But listen to what the disciples say. The disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down and on the ground, and when he had taken 7 loaves, he gave thanks. You know, isn't it amazing? It wasn't that long ago that, you know, the disciples had been in a situation like this. But there was more people and they had more food with the 5,000. But here, there's less people but more food. Not enough food to feed them. But you know, where is the dullness in this? Well, the problem you see in this is that the disciples, the dullness is that when Jesus opens up the opportunity of blessing, they look in the wrong place. When Jesus talks about feeding the people, the first thing they say is, well, we haven't got enough bread. We haven't got enough food. We haven't got enough money. How possibly can we feed them? And they're right in one sense. But the problem is, they're looking at what they've got and not what's standing glaringly in their face, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They forgot on the many occasions how they've seen Christ at work in the time that they've already been with him. They were there when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. They were there when he fed the 5,000. And there's many more occasions where they've seen the miracles that Jesus has done. But their dullness has helped them to forget. Because when Jesus opens up this opportunity to them, they don't see, like Jesus, a way of blessing. They only see the problem. We haven't got enough. But you know, they think we've only got 7 loaves and some fish. But listen what Jesus does. Listen when he says, well, what do you have? And they say, how many loaves do you have? And they asked, 7. And he replied, and he told them to sit down on the ground. And when he had taken the loaves, 7 loaves, and given thanks. You see, when Jesus has given the loaves, he gives thanks for them. He doesn't say, well, we've only got 7. How possibly can we do that? He gives thanks, and then he uses what he has, and he fills the need of the people. And I think there's a great lesson here for us in this, is that, you know, we may think we don't have much. We may think, well, what can I do? But, you know, we must remember this. It doesn't matter what we have physically. It's who we belong to and what we have spiritually. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether we've only got 7 loaves and a few fish, if we bring them to Christ in the service that he's set before us, he can do so much with that. You know, as we go into this strange time of this virus and all that is going on, it can be overwhelming. We could be thinking to ourselves, well, you know, what can I do in this situation? You know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not this, I'm not that. You know, how can I help? Well, you know, we're children of God. And God has given us all gifts in many different ways, spiritually and physically. And God wants us to use them in these times. And you know, it may be a simple thing of just phoning people up to see how they are. It may be we could drop some food off for someone. But we have to be willing to say, well, Lord, this is what I have. I'm giving it to you to help in this situation. And then we can leave it to Jesus and to see what he does with it. Because we see here that yes, they're dull. Yes, they forgot what Jesus has already done in the past. But by the grace of God and by the grace of Jesus, he doesn't give up on them, does he? And when they bring their loaves to him and they bring their bit of fish to him, he gives thanks and he uses them to meet the need of the people. And you know, the same Jesus here wants to do the same thing with us. He wants to use the things that we have. And he wants us to bless the people. But we need to, first of all, be thankful for what we have. Don't worry about what we haven't got. But remember the greatest thing that we have. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if we're willing to say, okay, Lord, here is my home, here is my car, here is my money, here is my time. I'm giving it to you to save the people. Let's just see what great things God can do through that. You know, I just wonder over this past week or so, have you took the time out to phone anyone up to see how they're doing? Have you took the time out to pray for people? Have you thought of those who can't get out? You know, at the age of 70, they've been told to stay in for 12 weeks. Have you thought about them and what a phone call could do to them? You know, do not despise small things. Small things used for God can become great things. God always loves to use the small things. You know, we've seen in the Old Testament where God would say to the people, there's too many. I only want a few. Because God is glorified in that. And we see here how Jesus, he's there. He sees the opportunity of blessing. It is an impossible task to feed so many people with so little. And as we look out into the world today and the condition, the way things are going on, it seems an impossible task. But as God's people, we should be leading the way of using what we have, however little it is, with the great God that we have. And if we're willing to do that, just like these people that were full, and how the disciples saw that miracle and became part of God's glory, then we can go that way as well. So let's not be dull like these disciples, let's remember what Jesus has already done for his word, but also in our very lives as well. How he's met our needs and used us before in the situations that we face, and especially in times like today. But then we come to the Pharisees here in verse 11. You know, the problem of these Pharisees. You know, it says in verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him, and they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back in the boat and crossed the other side. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, how these Pharisees keep coming to him and they keep asking for a sign. But the truth is, you know, they keep hearing of what Jesus has done. In fact, they've been around on many occasions and seen what he's done. In fact, you know, when he healed on the Sabbath, they called him a blasphemer. They said he was of the devil. It didn't matter what Jesus did. It was never good enough. And the problem is the problem is because no matter what Jesus did, they were against him. And the reason that they were against him is because they wanted to rule him. They were so happy in their religious ways and their traditions and all that they had, that they didn't want Jesus to rule them. And because they didn't want Jesus to rule them, no matter what he did, no matter how he loved the people and helped the people and saved the people and wanted to help the Pharisees as well, they got more and more against him. Because the thing that they really, really wanted is they wanted to rule Jesus. And you can't rule Jesus, you know, because he truly is the king that he says that he is. And isn't it amazing with the problem of the Pharisees is that they're coming here to have a go at Jesus. And they're saying, you know, show us a sign from heaven. But wasn't Jesus the greatest sign from heaven? He came down from heaven. He laid down his life. You know, physically he does it on the cross. But even before that, we've seen here already as he fed the 4,000, he puts everybody else before himself. He makes sure everybody else is fed before himself. He truly is the man of God, the Son of God. He truly is the Christ, the compassionate one that really cares and has a concern for people. But to the Pharisees, they've got this problem and this concern about Jesus. It's because what they don't like is the love that Jesus is showing. They don't like because they want the people to love them. They want to rule over the people. They want to be the ones with the honour and all the glory that goes with it. But you can't have God's glory. You can share in it by accepting Jesus, but you can't rob him of his glory. And that's what they were trying to do. And you know, we need to be very careful in the life that we have. Have we fell into Pharisees' ways at times? You know, what I mean by that is, you know, have we truly, truly let Jesus rule our lives? Or are we trying to rule Jesus? Because, you know, the Pharisees, they found this. They were always in the losing battle. They were never, ever going to win. They were always going to come unstuck. Even when Jesus was on the cross. And they threw them honourable remarks and mocked him while he was on the cross, only to find out 3 days later he rose again to victory. They never got any peace because they would keep fighting and fighting and fighting against Jesus, but they always come unstuck. Because the truth is, you can never beat Jesus, because he truly is who he says he is. He is the love of God. He is the compassionate of God. He is the greatness of God. He is the grace of God. And that's why every knee and everyone will bow before him one day, no matter who they are. So we need to be people that don't become like the Pharisees and have their problem of trying to rule Jesus. But we need to be humble people and to accept Jesus who he is. To allow him to rule our lives. Not because he wants to dominate us, but because we've already learned, because he wants to love us. He has a concern and a care for us like nobody else has. And he wants to lead us to the greatest thing of all, that one day we'll be with him, and while we're on our way to there, that he will help us through that. So let's not fall into the trap of the Pharisees. But you know, I want to finish off, you know, on the fourth and final one of the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida in verses 22 onwards. And it reads this, you know, they came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside of the village. And when he spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." You know, it's an amazing story, this. It's a great story. But, you know, I just want to quickly finish off on this and what lessons we can learn from this point of the blessed of the blind man. Well, first we see this, you know, straight away, we have the blind man and his friends bring him along to Jesus. And they beg Jesus, you know, that to touch him so that he could be healed. But, you know, Jesus straight away, he takes him by the hand and he takes him out of the village. And when he gets him out of the village, the first thing that he does, you know, he spits on the man's eyes and then he puts his hands on him and he says, "Do you see anything?" And he says, "I can see people like trees." And then he goes on, he touches his hands on his eyes again and he can see. And I just think, you know, it's quite a strange thing, this, when you look at it. It's not normal, is it? You know, for someone to be spat on the eyes, to be touched on the eyes. And when you think about it, when the men brought him to Jesus, Jesus could have said straight away, "Yeah, eyes be opened," that he was sick because he was Jesus. But on this occasion, the first thing that he does, he takes him by the hands. And I believe this, you know, in every great blessing, it always begins with a journey. And that journey begins when we take the Lord's hand. And he leads us to the blessing. And in an amazing way, anyway, he takes him by the hand, the comforting thing that it is, he takes him by the hand and he takes him out of the village. But then you see, he spits on his eyes. Now, I don't know about you, I wouldn't want anyone spitting on my eyes. But I wouldn't mind Jesus spitting on my eyes, I'll be honest with you. But you know, it seems a strange and not a nice thing, doesn't it? But in any journey with Christ, it can be strange. And also, it can sometimes not be nice. But you know, these people, they kept going, don't they? And then we find he touches them. He touches his eyes. And isn't it good when the Lord touches us in our lives? It's a special time in the journeys that we have. And then he touches them again. And then we find that at the end of it, he gets his sight back. But I think there's a great lesson in this, you know, for us, is that, you know, when they came to Jesus, they believed. But they didn't get their blessing straight away. There was a journey. They had to go to the village. He had to be spat on the face. He had to have his eyes touched twice. But in all that, the men and the man, they trusted Jesus right through it. And because they trusted Christ, he received the blessing. He receives his sight. And we must remember this in our own lives. You know, we need to be in the Lord's hand, in the journey that he has us. And we need to be willing to be ready that, you know, there will be them times when it'll be strange. There will be them times when it won't be very nice, like being spat on the eye. But we need to keep trusting Jesus through that. But we also know that in that journey, there are them days when he keeps touching us, just when we need it to get us through. But in all them times, you've got to keep trusting. And for those that keep trusting, we find, just like the blind man, he sees the glory of Christ, doesn't he? He sees Jesus physically. He came blind, he went away physically seeing him. And if we trust the Lord Jesus through everything, and we keep going on this journey, We're going to see amazing things, but the greatest thing is one day we will see him in heaven. And isn't that a wonderful, wonderful place to be? And a wonderful thing to keep help us keep going. So let's be like that blind man, but also like the blind man's friends. Let's be people that bring people to Jesus as well. So I'm going to leave it there now. I'm just going to finish off on prayer and just pray that you all have a good week as well. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all your help, all your greatness, but we thank you most of all for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the compassion and the love that you have for us. And we pray that we grow in that and become more like you, because we ask it all. In Jesus' name, Amen.